Hey, I'm Scott, and I am an American in Bangkok, and wow, I'm doing another podcast. It's been about 6 months or so since I've done one, and well, I kind of feel like I need to be doing them. They're cathartic in some ways. Let's see, what were we going to talk about today? Well, you know, there's a lot of things been happening in the last 6 months, if you haven't been watching my videos, which I don't know why you wouldn't be doing that. But before I get into things, you know, I've got a new book out, and I've got to pimp it out. I got the old book, They Call Me Farang. I got the new book, Ask Me Anything. It's actually They Call Me Farang. Short stories by an American in Bangkok and letters, what is it? And Ask Me Anything, Letters from Farang. Two books. Get them at theycallmefarang.com or just on Amazon. You can type in my name and you'll be able to find the books. So yeah, let's get that out of the way right away. Now, what are we going to talk about here? Well, first of all, you know, like I said, a lot of things have happened in the last 6 months, and I don't generally talk about them in my videos. And I have to say that, you know, I get a lot of letters from people, and they are constantly asking me to do something for them here, you know, go meet their girl, go vet their girl, go check up on their girl, go see if they're screwing around on their girl. And frankly, I just don't, like I said before a long time ago, I don't get involved in matters of the heart. You want a good way to get killed? That's the way, that's a quick way to get offed. All it takes is, you know, you're checking on some girl and her boyfriend happens to see you and you don't know but he's around and he wants to know who are you, and then he thinks you're banging her or whatever, and the next thing you know, you're stabbed or you're shot. It's just not the kind of thing I want to do. I like taking photographs. Sometimes I like making videos. I don't always like it, to be completely honest. But sometimes I like the editing. I like editing videos, but I don't particularly like shooting them. I don't like being the guy with the camera. With a still camera, I don't know. For some reason, there's a difference to me. And I enjoy it a lot more. But, you know, a lot of people ask me to do these kind of things, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, they think that, you know, I'm the guy. I'm the go-to guy in Thailand that can go and help them with their problem with their girl that they've never met, that they've only met online or whatever it might be. And, you know, I got my own issues. I got my own problems. You know, I mean, I'm fairly stable, but I got my own issues like everybody. And the last thing I want to do is deal with some guy and all his bullshit with his girl. And that's one of the reasons why my videos in the last, say, 6 months or so, less and less of them have had anything to do. What is that? A car screeching out? Don't know if you heard that, but anyway, yeah, less and less of the videos have been to do with idiots who get involved with some girl they don't even know. And you know, it really is common sense. And I hate to say it. And I'll get into it a little bit in a few minutes. But, you know, now my wife and I have been having a little problem. And unfortunately, it's affecting me in a place that is very private. It's affecting me in my asshole. And it's affecting my kids as well. Because, you know, they're getting older. I'm getting older. And now they're old enough, you know, they're 16 and 14. They're old enough to know that she's a woman, and she's different from us. She's always asking questions. Sometimes she's whining. She's always thinking of herself. And so now the boys have kind of joined the team daddy. When she's constantly yapping during a movie, or she wants to do this or do that, and they're busy in their own, whatever they're doing, whatever little boys do. And the same with me, whatever old men do. When we're busy, you know, and or we're trying to watch a movie or something like that, we just tell her, hey, you know, enough already. And she can't handle it. She just cannot handle it. And so we all get irritated. You know, my kids are getting irritated by her, and I get irritated, and she just can't handle it when all three of us are telling her to pipe down. And now it's, oh, you guys are always ganging up on me. You know, it's a constant thing. Oh, fine, if you guys want to gang up on me, be that way. You know, it's like, come on, we're not trying to gang up on you. But I got to say, you know, she is a woman, and you never should underestimate a woman, ever. Even if they don't seem, they might not seem very intelligent to some people, but guess what? They are more than likely more intelligent than you give them credit for. But I always give my wife credit for being fairly intelligent. And so, you know, when we get irritated, she only fights back up to a point. And then once she realizes she can't defeat all three of us, she resorts to more sneaky, kind of drastic measures. And we don't, well, we haven't seen it coming. She's done this to us a couple of times. Basically, what she does is, you know, she doesn't cook all that much anymore. I'm home usually for dinner, to cook dinner for my kids, probably 4 out of the 5 times during the week, 4 out of the 5 evenings during the week. One other time, I'm usually out taking photos or doing whatever I'm doing. On the weekends, she'll cook, sometimes I'll cook, but she likes to cook or buy something from outside on the weekends. So we look forward to a Sunday dinner. And the reason I'm talking about this is because yesterday was Sunday in Thailand. And so she said, oh, you know what, I'll cook you something. I'll cook you out something. Don't worry. You'll like it. You'll like it. Now, remember, she's a little on the sneaky side. And, you know, sometimes I just take it for granted that, you know, hey, she's going to cook us up a good meal. And she's a pretty good cook. I got to admit, she's a good cook. Sometimes she cooks things that are far better than what I could cook. And sometimes I cook better than she can. Depends on the dish. And, you know, usually Thai food, she cooks a lot better than me. But she likes curry and spice because she's from the South. You know, she's from Surathani, and she likes the curried food and really spicy, spicy food. And she always says, oh, that gives me power. So, you know, she'll cook up a dish, and we'll have to tell her, hey, you know, next time, mellow out on the spices. You know, it's getting a little bit too, it's too much. And my kids especially, my kids can't eat as spicy as I do. I mean, I eat really spicy, spicy food. And to the point where, I mean, I'm dripping in sweat, but I like it. And I'll continue eating. And my kids will continue eating, but they'll do it out of an obligation to her because she's like, do you like it? Is it good? Is it good food? You really like it? And of course, they don't want to tell her, well, yeah, sorta. You know, they don't want to tell her that. So when we gang up on her, like I think Friday night and Saturday, we were a little rough on her. She was, you know, doing whatever she's doing, sitting there on the sofa, playing on the phone and laughing and giggling and you know, talking to her little girlfriend, and then we're yelling at her to watch the movie, and finally all of us are like, turn the movie off, sit there, we're staring at her, like, put the phone down already. No phones while we're watching a movie, no phone at the dinner table, no phone in bed. End of story. She's, you know, grumbling about it. Yeah. Okay. Of course, it's, you guys, you know, you guys do it, you're just ganging up on me. Yeah, okay, right, whatever. So she cooks us this meal last night. And we sit down, we start eating, and, you know, it only takes a couple minutes, really a couple of bites, and all of us are like, well, this is good, but it's a little spicy. And she said, oh, no, it's not that bad. It's really, it's not all that bad. I just put a few chilies in there, and, My kids start with the, you know, they continue eating. They're hungry. They're eating. And they're drinking their water, having a little, I think Nicholas had a little, you know, like a cold cocoa drink or whatever. And he's like, it's really spicy. You know, of course, no, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And we finish the meal up. And, you know, we're just thinking, oh, she put too many chilies in there. You know, next time, you really, please, stop putting so many chilies in there. But then what happens is, over the course of the meal, the heat starts building up. To the point that all of us are sniffling and we're drinking water as quick as we can to try to alleviate, you know, the hot tongue. But we basically had been waiting for her to finish the meal, the dishes, you know, get everything set up for us. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. We were hungry. So we just wolfed it down. Now, I understand that, you know, women don't want to be ganged up on. But this was her way to get back at us. This was her revenge. And the only reason I say that, normally I might say, oh, well, she just kind of threw in a few chilies because she wants it to be spicy and she wants it to taste like she likes it. But that's not the case, because the next day, all of us were complaining about how spicy the food was and that our assholes were all burning. And as we were doing that, she had this little grin on her face. She knew exactly what she was doing. And it was basically retribution. And I don't know if we're going to gang up on her quite as harshly as we did. But today and yesterday, basically, all of us have been complaining about how spicy it is and how when it goes in, it might taste pretty good. And then you start getting that mild sensation of, oh, this is pretty spicy. And then a few minutes later, a couple of bites later, you're going, oh, man, this is really spicy. And then by the time you're done, you're like, holy shit, what is this chick trying to do? And I had to tell her, what are you trying to do? You kill us? I mean, you know, it's like, how many freaking peppers did you put in? Oh, I put one of those little packs in there. And, you know, she buys the packs of chili peppers from the grocery. And I'd say there's got to be 100 of them in there. She just chops them all up, throws them in the dish. So we're paying for it today. And believe me, it's not fun. But I'll remember that this is the way that she gets back to us. So if we've jumped on her and then she cooks us a meal the next day or the day after, I'll know better. So anyway, now, something here about Thailand. I occasionally will use Uber. I've been talking about this. And the reason is because I get sick and tired of dealing with the attitudes of the taxi drivers. Most of the time I have no problems with them. But I'll give you an example. Today, I get in the taxi. I tell the guy, when you're leaving the mall, take a right and then take another right. Oh, I can't go right. I'm like, you cannot turn right and go straight onto Happy Land Road. I said, you can go right and then turn right again. Oh, no, I think I should go left. And I'm like, I don't want you to go left. It's completely legal to turn right and to turn right again. Now, the guy didn't want to believe me. He seemed to think that I was some idiot who didn't know what I was talking about. Oh, this Farang don't know what the fuck he's talking about. And that's what I don't like. That's one thing. Then I don't like the nasty attitude that some of them can have. And I don't like them turning you down when you want to take, when you want to go somewhere. You know, I don't like the whole idea of them stopping. Hey, where you going, man? Well, I'd like to go down to Khao San Road. Oh, no. Cannot. I'm not going there. Bye. Boom. And they're off. That's not how it works. It's not legal for them to do this anymore. They're not allowed to turn you down. If the light is showing in the front, which says Wang, which says available. Guess what? They are supposed to pick you up. Now, of course, this is Thailand. They just figure, oh, well, if I don't want to pick you up, I'm not going to pick you up. Fuck you. But it is a law. And so sometimes people like me and other people, some of my friends, will take the photo of their license plate, of their ID thing in the inside of their car, and forward it to the Department of Land and Transport. And what that does is it goes on their record. Now, I do, like I said, I do take Uber occasionally because I don't have to deal with any shit. I send a message, boom, through the app, pick me up at this time on this day, and they get there right on time. They almost always know exactly where they have to go. They know how to get there. If they didn't know, they've researched it beforehand. So I like it. Now, I just saw a story in Pattaya, how six drivers actually assaulted an Uber driver and wanted to assault the passenger because the driver dared to drive into their territory. Now, Uber is illegal in Thailand. And how this works, I really don't know. I don't know how they can continue to operate and have an app that works in Thailand. And frankly, I don't know why they are illegal aside from maybe somebody thinks that there's too many jobs, taxi driver jobs going to be lost if Uber is allowed to continue unabated and legally. And the only thing I can say is that the taxi drivers really need to get their shit together. If they're not going to be decent to the people and follow the laws set forth in this country, then I feel no pity for them at all that they are going to lose out if Uber is legalized here in Thailand. I generally, like I said, most of the time I don't have a problem with taxi drivers. But it only takes one to really make you see just how bad some of them are. And I've had, over the years, I mean, I probably have a couple run-ins every year. And nothing really serious, but I get some attitude from a guy. And you get the feeling that if I wanted to push it a little bit, we could definitely go out and scrap, or he would be pulling out a machete, which has happened to me before. Old man smacked me. I was telling him, no, turn left. And he turned around and smacked me. I've talked about this before, and I knocked him out. You know, he hit me, so I'm like, fuck this, boom, and I hit him. He was already pulled over to the side. But he had smacked me, and I thought, what the fuck is going on? This guy, you know, he was like 8-10 years older than me. So I say old man, he wasn't that much older than me. And I clocked him and knocked him out, got out of the car, and started walking away. And of course, he comes out a couple minutes later. I'm standing there waiting for a new taxi with my bag. And he comes out with a machete going after me. And fortunately, I was still young enough to be able to use my footwork to get away from him. But that's an extreme case. That's the only time that's ever happened to me. Most of the time, the only other problems I've had, you know, I mean, the other day I'm in a taxi and the guy's got his Esan music blaring and I'm trying to make a phone call and I'm trying to tell him, hey, listen, buddy, turn the music down. So what's he do? He turns it down just a tiny little bit. And I'm like, you need to turn it down. Please, turn it down. I can't hear. Turn the fucking thing down. It's like, how many times do I got to say? Do I got to be a prick and say, why don't you turn the motherfucker off? I mean, do I have to be like that? No, I should be able to say, hey, listen, buddy, I'm trying to make a fucking phone call. Be a little courteous and turn the fucking music down. You know? And this is the kind of shit. And then I hear all my friends saying how they can't get taxis down in Sukhumvit. Not necessarily some of my friends, but friends, acquaintances, people online, people writing me via email, and I hear this shit all the time, and I'm like, well, you go on to the next one, or you're at a hotel, and the hotel, you go outside, and there's a bunch of guys sitting there, and they're like, 500 baht, you know what, fuck you, buddy, turn the fucking meter on, you don't want to turn the meter on, fuck off, and then they wonder why Uber is making headway here, and why people want to take Uber. Nobody wants to go in a taxi. The last thing that anybody wants is to have to worry about getting in a taxi, and am I going to get from point A to point B? The only thing people want is get me from point A to point B. That's it. And it's no different in airplanes. People don't want any bullshit. You know. So I don't know where these guys are coming from. And what it is they feel, oh, I'm due more money. Listen, we're all due more money. And some of us are actually worth it. Some of us are not. And in the case of a taxi, I don't have a problem with paying them a little more money. The problem is the service is not going to be up to snuff. It's not going to get better because you pay them a little more money. I'm sorry. If you start out the fares at 50 baht and change the structure a little bit, I really don't see it making that much of a difference. Because there are plenty of good taxi drivers who, listen, they live within their means. They do what they have to do. They earn their living, and they know, hey, every month I got 20 grand coming in, or I got 14,000 coming in, whatever it is. But you get some of these drivers who think, listen, you're a Farang, so you got to pay me 500 baht to go down the street, even though it's a 100 baht fare. And, you know, I just got a comment. I've been in all kinds of troll comments, and, you know, I try not to pay any attention to them, because I look at it like, if you got time to troll somebody online, then you got a fucking worthless life. Which means you're fucking worthless. But some guy wrote me the other day and said, you know what? Us Thais don't give a shit what you foreigners want or what you think. We don't want you in our fucking country. And, you know, that's fine. If you don't want me in the country, then do something about it legally. Go to the government and make the government change things to where foreigners are not allowed in the country. And then all your fucking Thai people in the United States will get kicked the fuck out, and you're going to lose a lot more money because there's no foreigners in the country, and your foreigners are not sending money back. Your Thai people are not sending back money to their Thai families. So do what you want to do, buddy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't win for losing. You know, there are some people who, you know, they agree with me or they disagree with me, and I don't have a problem with them. And then you get some fucking assholes who write in. You know, they're just, obviously they're trying to get under my skin. And, you know, what they don't understand is, I just as soon fucking stick you in the neck with a fucking knife if you were standing there talking to me than anything else. I mean, really. You know, it's like people like you. This is the thing. What the fuck is going on with the world? Really, nowadays, I just wonder. You got these fucking religious cunts. And that's what they are. They're cunts. These extremists. I'm not talking about decent, law-abiding religious people who, you know, they'd like you to be a Christian or a Muslim or whatever it is. But, you know, they're not going to force you into it. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. Now, when you start trying to force somebody to do something, that crosses the line. And I'll say something. I think the vast majority of the problems in the world have to do with other people trying to dictate what they believe is the proper way of life to others. And that's why sometimes I get the feeling like I just want to go fucking crawl into a hole. I never have liked people telling me what to do. I don't want people telling me what to do. And when people tell me what to do, sometimes I have to bite my tongue. There are certain places and people that when they tell you something and you need to do it, otherwise you're going to suffer some grave consequences. But for the most part, I try not to let anybody dictate what I do and how I do it. Because I just don't want to be in that position. It's one thing if you want to do something and somebody says, hey, why don't you try this? Okay, that's fine. I'll give you an example. I've had some people lately, and I'm going to talk about this more as soon as I get a little more information, but I've had some people lately who have been asking me to go check up on their girls.
Oh, please, man, you know, it's an emergency. I'm really worried.
And, you know, what the fuck am I? Your babysitter? Her babysitter? Like, I'm going to go over. I'm going to go to some chick's house that you barely fucking know. You know, I'm never going to forget the one fucking cunt who he basically begged me for 2 days straight. And finally I said, listen, buddy, I'm not going to go do it. I don't want to get involved. I don't get involved in matters of the heart. And he called me a fucking asshole. And of course, later on, when he got a hold of the girl, then he was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to be that way, man. You know, but I was worried about her. She's my girl. Oh, you fucking pussy. Take care of your business yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I just want to take photos. I'll make videos. I like to write. This is what I want to do with my life, okay? These are the things I want to do. I don't want to run around looking for some hoe to see what she's doing with some guy and then get shot in the face because some guy's going, who the fuck are you? Are you banging my girl? You know what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous. And the thing that's even more ridiculous is that people actually believe, they actually believe that because I'm here, that they have the right to ask me and tell me, hey, dude, you've got to go check on my girl, man. You're my only way. No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't give a fuck what problems your girl has. That's your problem. She's not my family. You know what I'm saying? You know how frustrating that is when you get guys begging you? Now, this last guy, he did not beg me, but I'm not going to get into it too much because I want to get a little more information from him. However, I just, whenever anybody, you know, there's the girl, the guy who, oh, will you please hook me up with that girl in the, will you please hook me up with the girl who was in the, what was the video? The pork stall girl. Will you hook me up with her, man? Hey, dude, I got this girl, and I want you to vet her for me. You got a girl. You haven't even fucking met her yet, you moron. And you want me to go and vet her? Oh, yeah, you can come with your family, too. Like, I really want to go meet somebody that I don't fucking know. I've never met in my life. I've never even talked to before. What the fuck is going on here? I'm trying to find out what this... what happened to my little account here, where the guy wrote me and was calling me a motherfucker and heartless and all this other stuff, because I wouldn't go over to his girl's house and find out what's happened to her, because he was like so worried about her. And he never ever fucking met the girl. It was an online relationship. I wanted to kill the motherfucker. I was like, ugh. I wanted to kill him for being stupid. Not because, you know, he bothered me. I mean, you know, he bothered me, wasted my fucking time. I'm not somebody's babysitter. Let's get that straight. You know, if you want to pay me to be a babysitter, my cost is $500 an hour. You know why? Because I'm sure that's what Justin Bieber gets. Or he gives. He pays. So if Justin Bieber's paying $500 an hour to some guy to be his bodyguard, guess what? I want $500 an hour too. Okay? That tells you how much, because the chance of me getting that is like zilch. So that tells you how much I want to be a personal bodyguard and basically a babysitter. A babysitter for a 22-year-old woman or something like that. It's not going to happen. So now I'm back, thankfully. You know, my mother, my sister, and my niece and my nephew all came to Bangkok. And we had a wonderful time. I've got a ton of videos I've been meaning to put together. But I've also been running around town taking photos. And there's a reason why. It's because I'm trying to bring my photography to the next level. And doing so is a little expensive. And it's also time consuming. And it means I have to meet with people. And I'm not really a people person, believe it or not. Once I get to know somebody, then, you know, and I feel relaxed, then fine. Until then, you know, I always wonder what's the deal with this person, because I've seen so many people come to Bangkok, move to Bangkok, and all they are is a bunch of scammers or the kind of people that they want to pick your brain. I just want to pick your brain. They have no interest in me or what I want in my life or what I'm doing or my family or anything like that. Now, there are probably a dozen people now that have moved to Bangkok or to Thailand that I've got to know, either in person or via Skype or via many, many calls and emails and things like that. Mostly guys who have come here. I think there's only been one man and one lady, and they were an older couple, and they were great. But there's been a couple of people that have moved here and that I stay in touch with, and they're fantastic. And I love being around them, and I got no problems with them. And, you know, but they're the kind of people who, see, here's the way that I look at it. If you got to bug the shit out of me about some girl, or you got to be a chowderhead and ask me some stupid question like, my bar girl said she's never, nobody's paid a bar fine for her. Does that still mean she's a bar girl? You know, some stupid shit like that. It's like, oh yeah. And first of all, do you believe her? I mean, listen, I'm going to do a whole video or I don't know, podcast or whatever. I'm going to talk about this at some point. But I have to say this again. I got nothing against bar girls at all because they serve a purpose. You know, I mean, when I came to Thailand in the beginning, I only had a couple of friends. You know, I met a couple people on my first and second trip. I became friends with them, got to know them a little bit, and then things started to open up a little bit. But, you know, until then, I was like, all right, what am I going to do today? I'm going to go to this little town over here. I'd go to the town, I'd go into some place, and I'd meet some girl. Hi, how are you? Oh, you want to come to my house? Yeah, I'd come to her house, and she'd take me back to my hotel in the city or whatever, and then she'd say, oh, listen, you know, you can't come. I wish you could stay with me, but, you know, my mother and father are there. But can I come up to your room? Okay. Sure, why not? You know. I got to know people that way. And what I learned is that, as screwed up as I might be, and, you know, I'll admit it, there are times I'm a little on the screwed up side. And, you know, I'm a little, I got my issues. I got my problems. I got my things going on that, you know, I need to deal with, my inner demons. But there are definitely a shitload of guys, and maybe even women, I don't know. There are a shitload of guys who are here who are just fucked up in the head. It's like, I'm 22 years old and I want to go move to Thailand and live off of $500 a year, or $500 a month. For the rest of my life, I'm just going to stay there and work and live, and life is going to be wonderful. Oh, really? Uh-huh. Okay. Listen, the only way that you can live off of a pittance, and that's what $500 a month is, a fucking pittance. $1,000 is a pittance. But you know what? If you have a chunk of cash, let's say you got a couple hundred G's in the bank, and you've got your retirement visa, or you've got an ED visa, or you got a job here, you know, and you're only making $1,000 a month, but you got that cash socked away, and let's say you got some insurance, then that's fine. Now, I guess if you're 25 years old, you still got, you know, 50, 60, who knows, 70 or 80 years to try to make it. And some guys, they have an innate ability to make it here. I would say I probably am one of them. And the reason is because there are people who will come here and they'll say, fuck, I just can't. And, you know, one of my buddies was a perfect example. He's the guy who I talked about. He blew 90 grand on hookers. Although he'll say, oh, they weren't hookers. Yeah, right. They were just selling their ass in Nana Disco. Okay. They weren't hookers. Yeah. Sure. He blew 90K. 90 fucking grand he blew. He couldn't even start a fucking business here. And the reason is because he just didn't have it in him. He wanted to have so much fun instead of saying, listen, I'm going to divide. You know, I don't get it because the guy was fucking sharp when it came to being in. He was a software developer. As far as that goes, he was sharp as shit. He had no problem getting a job once he got back, so maybe that was the secret. But once he was here, and I've seen this with many, many guys, he got here, he just completely fucking lost it.
Oh, all girls are the same. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, they're all the same. Yeah, sure. They all got pussies. They all want to fuck. And in order to do so, generally, you better have something. You better be a fucking really handsome guy. You better have a horse cock. You better have big cash. Or you better have all of them. Or you better have a hell of a lot of potential. And the girl, for some reason, believes in you. And that helps if you're an extremely handsome guy and you're this and you're that. And what gets me is that I see, you know, listen, I'm fucking almost 55 years old now. I'm not making excuses. I could look better. I could get myself into better shape. I could, you know, now I'm, granted, when I say I am in fucking pain every day and I'm, my bones hurt, my hand hurts, this hand hurts, that hand hurts, you know, my knee hurts, my hip hurts, my back hurts sometimes. My back doesn't usually hurt, to be completely honest, but I fractured 2 vertebrae in my neck when I was 17 years old. Sometimes my neck hurts, I get headaches, these kind of things. Okay, regardless, I should still be able to try to get myself into better shape, but I admit it, I am a lazy fuck now. I busted my ass for 20 years in a gym. Okay, and I was pretty fit for my younger years. But what gets me is that guys who were younger, they think it's never going to happen to them. I mean, that's complete garbage. Because there are guys who are the 20, 25, 30, and they're in great shape, and something happens, life changes, throws them a curveball, and they can't recover. They can't hit the curve. Well, you know, shit happens. Some guys get out of, you know, they get out of shape and they never can return. Some guys, they're in and out of shape. Some guys, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of people. There's skinny guys, guys who are naturally heavy, guys who are naturally thick and muscular. I'm not trying to make excuses, but what my point is, you know, I get all these trolls now. Oh, you fucking bullhead. Oh, you fat motherfucker. Oh, you're this, you're that. And I'm just venting right now. But, you know, it doesn't really bother me because I am what I am. And what am I going to do? You know, one time I was whining to my mother about this. Because, you know, she's my go-to person, her and my wife. They're my go-to people. And now my kids are starting to be my go-tos. And I went to her and I said, hey, Mom, you know, listen. I can't stand it. I used to be so fit and so healthy. And now I'm broken down and I'm... getting at the time, I was getting heavy, and I was like, you know, man, I'm gaining weight. I don't know what the fuck. I was whining. My mother goes, listen, so what are you going to do? You're going to stop your life and not have any fun because other people might call you fat or whatever? You might have a good time. Don't worry about it. And try to do something about it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, good. And that's my mentality now. I don't give a fuck. People want to call me fat. They want to call me ugly. Yeah, okay. And when you were 25, when you're 55 years old, let's see how you look like, what you look like. And I'll never forget this cunt who wrote me. I always remember these fucking people. They pop into my head once in a while. The cunt who wrote me and said, you know, oh, I'm whatever the fuck he was, 68 years old, and I'm lean and sinewy and all muscle, just like I was when I was 22. I went to the guy's Facebook page, and he was a fucking wrinkled sack of shit. He looked like a fucking raisin. I mean, seriously. And, you know, I'm like, this guy is the guy who's lean and sinewy? No, he's fucking old and wrinkly. I mean, seriously, the guy's fucking 70 years old or whatever the fuck he was. And, like, I think I wrote this in my book or something. I don't remember where it was that I wrote it. But I've written it probably several times. But how many women actually go up to a 70-year-old guy? And they go, oh, man, you're looking good. Woo, you are a sex machine. I can't wait to get you naked. And then they get them naked. Oh, look at them. Look at them shriveled up, old, hanging, saggy balls. Oh, you're the sex machine. You are a sex god. I can't wait to get my hands on you, honey. All right, maybe if she's 70 years old. But come on. You're going to get some 22-year-old? She's going to be going, oh, yeah, I want that old wrinkled sack. I don't think so. You know. Anyway, listen, this is the first podcast back. You know, I know I'm kind of ranting. And believe me, there were some other things I wanted to talk about that I didn't really get to. I'm a little out of practice. I'll be honest. I've made 3 other podcasts, and I didn't like any of them. I've been making podcasts for the last week. I just didn't like them. And
I don't know. I think this one's going to stick. At least, you know, it'll be good enough to make it up and let people hear it. Not that it's especially good or entertaining, but I think it's worth me putting up, and hopefully I'll continue to improve. You know, I felt like my podcasts were getting better and better, and then, I don't know, for whatever reason, I stopped doing them. I got busy. I got behind. I got, you know, I'm all over the place. I'm trying to, one of the problems with trying to do photography and trying to do YouTube videos and trying to shoot videos and trying to edit them and stay on top of your photography and trying to write a book and trying to do a photography book and answering everybody and having, you know, meeting people when they come over to Thailand, taking care of a couple of websites, there's not enough time. And I don't mind, you know, busting my ass. I don't mind that. The problem is there's not enough time in the day. That's the thing. So I apologize for, you know, not staying on the podcast. I've got things a little more organized now, and I think I can stick with everything. There are some changes going to happen to my website. They're already happening. I'm going to have a multi-tiered VIP membership. And, you know, if I'm going to continue this, the only way to do so is to earn money doing it. I got to get paid. And I understand there's people out there who don't want to pay. That's fine. But there are also some people who might want to or are capable of doing so or who want to help me. Or maybe they want to sponsor me and get some photos. I've had a couple people do that in the past. For whatever method you want to help me, whether it's just by watching the videos, listening to podcasts, buying something through Amazon, clicking on my link that's going to be shown in the blog post, and whatever the method is, I do appreciate it. I appreciate people following me because you don't have to, and I understand. Listen, I've been the guy who has, you know, fuck all for money. I am flat broke. And even now, while I may, you know, go to Starbucks and spend 150 baht once or twice a week, and I may take an Uber once in a while, I don't have big cash. I'm not rich, but I'm not living. Fortunately, we're not living off of $600 a month or $1,000 a month or $1,200 a month. And you know, frankly, I wouldn't want to live here. Because at least back home, I would have some kind of umbrella, some kind of protection in with the government and also with my family. Now, I really don't want to do that, but I'm just saying, if you're living here off of fuck all, you can't expect to live that way for the rest of your life. It's pretty foolish to do so. So my point is that if you're contributing now, thank you very much. If you've contributed in the past, thanks again. I really appreciate it. I do appreciate it because you know what? I wouldn't be able to buy some equipment that I buy. I wouldn't be able to go places that I go. I wouldn't be able to continue making photos. And that brings me to my next point in closing. And that is that, you know, I've got a website, a photography website. All right. Basically, I have four websites. Okay. I have an AmericanInBangkok.com. That's for the AmericanInBangkok.com stuff, the YouTube and membership and everything like that. I've got TheyCallMeFarang.com. That is for my books, okay? I've got an American in Thailand, which up until, say, 2 days ago, I was selling T-shirts on there. I was breaking even on the T-shirts. It's not worth it for me to keep it going. I don't know what I'm going to do with the site. Probably I'm going to keep it and just forward it, or I'm going to do something else with it. I don't know. And then I have scottmallon.net. Now, that's my photography site. And all of the photos that are on that site, and there are more going up. I put a lot of new photos up and photos from the past that no one's seen. And my site is starting to take shape and be quite a bit different. And I've been talking to some different photographers that are fairly well known in the business and my genre of photography, if you will. And they've been looking it over, and there are some things that I can I can do to make it better, and I'm working on it. But if you want to buy a print, whether it's an open print, which means I just keep making prints of that same shot, or a limited edition, and usually the limited editions are limited to 5 or 10 prints. The last time I had a limited edition print was a photo of the of a beach in Koh Chang, and I had 10, and I sold 2. But they are more expensive than the open edition prints. But the point is, there are prints available. You want something, you want to help me out, and you want to get something for it. Because I really don't want a handout. That's not what I want. I like to earn. I want to earn my money, okay? That's the way that you, that's one way that you can help. And all the links are down below in the description, down below in the blog there. And, you know, thank you for listening. I just really wanted to get this podcast, I wanted to get it out of the way. I wanted to do it because, like I said, I've done the podcast a couple times and I just haven't been happy with it. And I want to get started and I want it to be a regular thing. Twice a week, I want to do podcasts. And it's another way of staying in touch with people. The YouTube, I got to say, YouTube, the number of advertisers that have been dropping like flies from Google AdSense and YouTube are huge. Google's lost something like $650 million, something like that. Because, well, basically because there's too much content that is not advertiser-friendly on YouTube, and the advertisers don't want to pay for that type of content. Now, I did get one of my videos, my most popular video, My Thai Wife Scams, 10 Things You Shouldn't Do in Thailand or something like that. 826,000 views at the last time I looked. I've earned thousands of dollars from that over 3 years. It's my best earning video. And they fucking demonetized it. They pulled it, the monetization, and said, and you know, I appealed, and they said, sorry, your content is too sensitive. I mean, what the fuck? Do I have to go to a paywall to put my stuff behind, you know, in a secure area to where only the people that know full well how my language might be or what I might say, those are the only people that ever will listen to me? I mean, it's what's his name? What's his last name? Lang. Artie Lang. That's what he does. He's got a podcast. You know, I think he said he has something like, how many? 4,000 subscribers, and they pay something like $6 a month. So he ain't doing bad. The reason is because he can't control himself. He's out there. He says whatever he wants. And I don't think that anybody should dictate how you speak. I mean, I never intentionally go out of my way to hurt somebody by saying something. But if I want to say fuck or shit, piss, motherfucker, tits, ass, whatever it might be. Shit, piss, what is it? Shit, piss, cunt, motherfucker. I forget the 7 dirty words. But if I, by chance, want to say those things, I think I should have the freedom to do that. And I don't think you have the freedom to do that on YouTube anymore. So that's a shame. But anyway, going on and on. The next podcast will be on, it's Monday at 4:30 p.m. here. That means the podcast should be online and ready to listen to by 6 o'clock p.m. Bangkok time. That is 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. And it should be around the same time on Thursday that the next podcast goes up. So, until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok D, Lat, Jerk, and Mai.